commence our season of worship by singing together the Psalm 145, the first version of that psalm, verses 1 to 7. You'll find it on the page 134 of your hymn book. Psalm 145, the first version of that psalm, verses 1 to 7. I thee extol, my God, O King. I bless thy name always. Thee will I bless thee each day, and will thy name forever praise. The Psalm 145, first version, on the page 134, will stand as we sing, singing verses 1 to 7. Stand as we sing. Would just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us all pray. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we gather before Thee the Sabbath morning, and we gather in our Savior's name, through the name of Thine only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we approach unto Thee. And Father, we thank Thee for the wonderful gift of Thy Son, that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world in the fullness of Thy time, in accordance, O God, with Thy great plan and purpose of redemption. And Father, we thank Thee that there upon the cross of Calvary He died for our sins. We thank Thee that upon that cross He paid the debt of our sin in full, when He cried out, "It is finished." And Father, we thank Thee that He offered Himself a once for all, a sacrifice for sin. And Father, we praise Thee and we thank Thee, O God, today for the precious blood that He shed. And we rejoice, O God, in that precious blood that redeems us back to God from the dark paths of sin. And Father, we thank that it is through that redeeming blood of Christ that our sins, though many as the people of God, have been forgiven. We thank that it is through the blood of Christ that we have been brought into the family in the fold of God, that we have been made inheritors of the riches of Thy grace, grace that is always sufficient for our every need and care and life. And Father, we thank Thee, Heavenly Father, through the blood of Christ, a place has been purchased for us in heaven and in glory itself. And O God, we thank Thee that we've been saved from the wrath to come through the blood of the Lamb. that thou hast promised in thy word that when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. O God, our prayer is today that thou would just bless our coming together. We confess our sins before thee. Lord, they are many. Our faults, our failings, our shortcomings. We pray for that fresh cleansing in the Savior's blood, O God. Create within us a clean heart. Renew, Lord, within us a right spirit. Lord, pour out thy Holy Spirit upon our times of worship here today. And Father, we pray that we might know a very gracious, conscious sense of the presence of the Lord. We think of how thou hast spoken in thy word, and thou said, be still and know that I am God. And Father, we pray today that our hearts, whatever storms or trials are raging in our hearts, that those storms would be stilled, O God, before thee. We think of how thou didst come to the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, and thou just did speak the word, peace be still, and there was a great calm. And Father, we pray that here we might know the presence of the Lord with us in our times of worship today. And we pray, Lord, that we will know and hear the speaking voice of God to our hearts, saying, this is the way, walk ye therein. And Father, we pray that thou will come and bless us each one as thou would see our need. We thank thee for the words of this psalm of which we've been singing, and how the psalmist was focused upon the greatness of God. And we realize thou art the great I Am. Thou art almighty. Thou art all-powerful. Thou art one who is all-seeing and all-knowing. And Lord, we thank thee that thou art one that has promised never to leave nor fail nor forsake the people of God. And Father, we pray that thou would just bless our coming together here today. Take our eyes off ourselves and off man and off the world around us. And O Lord, fix our gaze, O God, upon thee and upon thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank thee for our Sunday school and Bible class this morning. Bless thy word to every boy and girl and every young person. Early in life, may they come to know the Lord, to trust the Lord, to follow the Lord, and to serve the Lord. Remember all the meetings throughout the week that have gone by whereby children in this community have been reached with the gospel. And do speak on through thy word to these young lives also out around the community. And may many of them early in life, each and every one of them, Lord, come to know and to trust the Lord as Savior. We thank thee for all who have been able to come here to thy house today. Bless every head bowed before thee, O God. Encourage every saint of God. For any going through times of trial and difficulty, strengthen them. Uphold them by the mighty power and grace of God, we ask of thee. For others, Lord, needing words of counsel or direction, lead and guide and direct in the ways of the Lord, we ask. For any, Lord, cold at heart, give that restoring touch, O God, we pray. And for any with us today, unsaved, out of Christ, speak to them. And Lord, may this day be the day of salvation for them, the beginning of days for them on the road to heaven. We thank that salvation is real, that salvation is eternal. And Father, we thank that salvation is freely offered in the gospel to the whosoever will. And Lord, we pray for those in our gathering today, unsaved, still in nature's night, oh, that they might avail of that free offer of the gospel, and that they might come today in faith and in repentance and trust the Lord for salvation. We pray for those unable to join with us today because of age and sickness and infirmity. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless them, that thou wilt minister to them. Those who mourn and grieve, we pray that thou wilt comfort their hearts, that they might know the Lord drawing very near, O God, we ask. For others in hospital at this time, bless them and raise them up, O God, we pray. Remember, Lord, those listening in online, whoever they are, wherever they might be, we pray that thou wilt bless them also, meet them at the point of their need. Remember our land today, wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed, may the blessing of God be upon it in the salvation of sinners, in the reviving of thy church. We pray for our missionaries today at home and abroad, that thou wilt bless them, give them health and strength, protect them, and encourage them much in the Lord, and use them for thine honor and for thy glory, we pray. Father, have mercy upon our royal family. We pray that thou would save our king. And we pray, Lord, that thou would bless thy word to that household, and that they might turn to thy word. Remember, Lord, those that rule in our land and in our nation. We pray that thou would save them also, we pray, from the folly of sin and the ungodly ways of men. May they realize their responsibility, Lord, to rule in accordance with thy word. We pray that ere even in the places of power in our land, that there might be a turning unto thee, O God, we ask. Bless all our homes today and our families today and our family circles. Meet every need, O God, we ask. Unite them all in the Lord. We pray that on that day of days when the roll is called up yonder, all will be present and found there, we pray. Bless us now, we pray. Shelter our meeting over and around with the precious blood. Grant a gracious sense of your presence. May we go home today rejoicing that we've met with thee, that we've heard the voice of God. For we do pray and we do ask all these things in the name of thy Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're turning again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 63. The hymn number 63 in the page 201 of your hymn book. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Hymn number 63, and we'll stand as we sing. Turn, please, in God's Word to the book of Genesis, the Old Testament book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 48, Genesis chapter 48, and reading from the verse 1 of the chapter. Let us hear God's Word as we read it together this morning. The book of Genesis chapter 48 and the verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that one that told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, "Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee." And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee. And I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. As for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same as Bethlehem. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, Who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, These are my sons, whom God have given me in this place. He said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. And the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them, and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had no thought to see thy face, and lo, God have showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and he brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly. For Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people. He also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, And thee shall all Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you, and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite, with my sword and with my bow. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 22, and we pray the Lord will add his own blessing to this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our meeting, I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning. Good to see all, young and old alike, who've gathered with us here in God's house. And if you're visiting with us, we extend you a very special welcome. It's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship. If you're a believer today, may you be strengthened and led on with the Lord. And if you're here today and you're not saved, We pray that even today you'll put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. We welcome also those who may be visiting or viewing online as well. We pray the Lord will bless you today through his word and through his truth. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember here this afternoon in the church at 3 p.m. is the County Fermanagh Royal Arts Purple Annual Service. They're coming here for that service. We'll be ministering God's word. We encourage you to pray for that meeting. If you're able to join with us for that hour this afternoon from 3 to 4, we'll be delighted to see you. Do please also remember the evening prayer meeting here tonight in the church at 6:30. We encourage as many as possible to gather for the time of prayer, and then the gospel service again here in the church at 7 p.m. We belong to bring God's word. Pray for that meeting and plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Also tonight, our sister Hannah Armstrong from our Dungannon church will belong to sing for us in the gospel. Tomorrow night at 8 p.m. in our Achillea church, there's a Consider Christ Outreach prayer meeting. And if anyone wishes to come with us to that meeting, we're planning to go up to it tomorrow night. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study here in the church. We'll be long to take that meeting. We commend that to every believer in Christ. And do also remember the children's meetings and your prayers throughout the week, each night at 6:30. Tuesday night, Tresna, McGuire's Bridge, Thursday night, Friday night here in Bethel. Friday night, 8 p.m., it is the youth fellowship meeting. We commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible will gather. Next Lord's Day, the 30th of April, is our annual missionary Sunday, annual missionary Lord's Day. Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. Morning worship service, 12 noon. The Reverend David Brown, minister of our church from Larne and also from our church mission board, will be with us. He'll be giving an update on God's work in the Far East, in Pakistan, Nepal, and in the Philippines. He'll also be bringing God's word and preaching upon the great need for missionaries today. Then the evening service at 7 p.m., the guest preacher will be the Reverend Ray Kerskadden from our church in Corrigarry. As you know, our brother is planning to go out soon in the middle of June with his wife and family to take up the missionary work there in Uganda. He'll be preaching God's word, telling about God's call in his life, and laying before us the burden for the work there in Uganda. So remember these meetings, make them known. There are wee invites for them out on the table in the porch. We encourage you to take those, give them out, and do all you can to encourage others in as we hear of God's work, not just here at home, but further afield, and how important it is that we pray and do all we can to support these works. Can I say, next Lord's Day, all the loose offerings at both services, morning and evening, and then any envelopes marked Uganda offering, will go towards the Reverend Kerskadden's family and himself, their support for the work out there in Uganda. So do remember that, please. Our church committee are organizing a new tea rota. This is really to supply teas for visiting speakers and singers, etc. And if you'd like to be included in this rota, there's a sheet out there on the table in the porch. I encourage you to put your name on that sheet and your phone number beside it. If any lady wishes to help with this, or ladies, maybe plural, maybe want to do it as a team, or husband and wife team, or whatever, just put your name on the sheet out there on the table in the porch. And also, any people that have done this in the past and wish to continue doing this ministry, also please put your name on the sheet and phone number so we can update our records for that. So do remember that ministry. And maybe there's other things you feel that you're maybe unable to do, but this is something you'd like to do to help in the Lord's work in this respect. And then just feel free to put your name down on the sheet there on the table on the porch. Friday night, the 9th of June at 7:30, will also be our annual church barbecue. And the venue will be Castle Archdale Campsite, the same venue as last year. And again, all going, would encourage you to put your family name out. There's a sheet out there on the table on the porch. Put your family name and just the approximate number of people in your family group for that evening. It was a good event last year, very well supported, and with a good night of fellowship together. The price is £5 per adult. All children are free, and all members and friends of the congregation are most welcome to come. And our brother, Reverend Baxter, will be along with his wife to do the cooking. And then any profits go towards the orphanage out in Nepal. So do remember that also, please. Do please pray for Mr. Colin Maxwell, Mr. Noel Shields, commencing a week's gospel mission in their church in Isle of Man today. They've been over doing a week of outreach, and the meeting's commenced today. Pray for that daily. And then also pray for a gospel mission in our Six Mile Cross Church this week, each night at 8 p.m., the preacher there, the Reverend Thomas Martin. And then as a church, we'd like to express our sincere Christian sympathy to our sister, Mrs. Ina Miller, and sons, John and David. Ina lost her brother-in-law in the week that has gone by, and we share her and all the family and family circle of our prayers and sympathies at this time. That's all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to hymn number 631. 631. We don't take up an offering during the meeting, but do remember the offering plates as you leave. This is a wonderful hymn, great words of truth to encourage us in prayer. It says, prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. We'll keep our seats while we sing the early part of this hymn, 631. For the remainder of the hymn, standing. Turn to that passage of scripture we read earlier, please, to Genesis chapter 41, or 48 rather, Genesis 48. With God's word open before us, let us unite our hearts in a brief word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we remember, Lord, those that mourn today. Remember Ina and her family and family circle. We pray that Thou will give them comfort and grace and strength in this time of loss. Fill the vacant chair with the presence of the Lord. And we pray that even through the passing of this loved one from this scene of time, that I would even speak to others in the family or family circle, unsaved, and oh, that they might make preparation for eternity and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone as Savior, we pray. Lord, bless us now as we turn to Thy precious word. Close us in, Lord, with Thyself. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God. Give help, give enablement, wisdom to preach Thy word as thus and thus saith the Lord. Let the word of the Lord have free course. Apply it to every heart, to the building up of believers and the things of God, to the restoration of any, Lord, walking afar off from Thee. And Lord, use it to the conversion of sinners and to the blessing, O God, of Thy name. This we pray and this we ask for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our text for today is verses 15 and 16 of Genesis chapter number 48. I'll read those two verses with you again. It says of Jacob, and he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lambs, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now, Genesis chapter 48, it really tells of Joseph's second visit with his dying father, Jacob. And accompanying Joseph in this visit on this occasion are his two young sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And this was really a visit which was to culminate, it was to end in great blessing for the sons of Joseph. And you see that from verse 20 of the chapter, where it says of Jacob, and he blessed them. That is the sons of Joseph. He blessed them that day. Now, in visiting his ailing father, Joseph here sets before us a tremendous example, really, for every Christian to follow. You see, the Bible says pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And in particular, God's people are to visit those who are in need. And by visiting those who are in need, the believer will be a blessing and an encouragement to those who are in need, whatever their need and predicament is. At this stage of his particular life, we see that Jacob's eyesight was failing, and we see that from what is said in verse 10 of the chapter. For it says, now the eyes of Israel, and Israel, here's another name just for Jacob. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And it's very interesting to note here that while his physical sight had grown dim, this could not be said of his spiritual eyesight. Yes, the view of his faith was very clear. It was very strong. It was very vivid. Because over in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible tells us there, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. And we see from the passage of Scripture before us that Joseph's sons were very precious to their grandfather Jacob. And you see that from what Jacob says to Joseph at the end of verse 9, and what he does also at the end of verse 10. He says to Joseph regarding his two grandsons, he says, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. And then at the end of verse 10 it says, and he brought them near unto him, and notice it, and he kissed them and embraced them. My, this was a very tender meeting, a loving meeting that Jacob had with his two grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And we see that in this meeting that Joseph's sons, how Jacob himself, he acknowledges here the Lord's goodness in all this matter. For look at what he says to his son Joseph in verse 11 of the chapter. He says, and Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God have showed me also thy seed. And whenever
Joseph was taken away as a lad of 17 from the father's household. Jacob thought that he would never, ever see him again. But in the goodness and in the providence of God, they meet together here in Egypt. And not only does he see Joseph, he sees the very seed of Joseph, his family, his children, Ephraim and Manasseh. And people, it is also very interesting to note here just that Joseph, he brings his sons here on this occasion to the place of blessing. This is something to note, very important in the chapter. He brings his sons to the place of blessing. And in this, there's a vital lesson for every one of us who are Christian parents in this meeting here today. And Christian parents in particular, I say to you in this meeting this morning, you should endeavor with all your might, endeavor with all your soul to bring your children to that place where God can bless them. And that is why it is so important for Christian parents to bring their children to God's house. And I believe we should bring our children to God's house Lord's Day morning, Lord's Day evening. Again, it's important we bring our children to Sunday school, to children's meetings, to youth meetings, to other gatherings where God's word is faithfully taught and honored, so that in that place they can know the blessing of God. Oh, such, yes, are the places that parents must bring their children to. Joseph brought his children here to the place of blessing. And it is also interesting to see here how both Joseph and his boys were blessed. You think back to Joseph's early life. He had many trials. He had many afflictions. He had many burdens. But later on in his life, in his adult life, he is greatly blessed of God. And the blessing of God upon Joseph as far outweighs the blessing that was upon the rest of Joseph's brothers. And why was that the case? It was due to the fact that Joseph was faithful to the Lord in all his ways. And here's a great encouragement to all God's people. Despite afflictions, despite burdens and trials and testings in life's journey, if the believer remains faithful to the Lord and to his word, such will know the blessing of God upon them. The Lord says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." The psalmist says, "The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." And people, faithfulness to the Lord and to the word of the Lord is always the highway to God's blessing and to God's bounty. And today, as we look at our text and look particularly at the blessing of Joseph's sons on this occasion, there's some very important things for us to note. And in this blessing, it's important to also remember that although Jacob was the instrument in this blessing, it was God and God alone who was the author of this blessing. This is something to keep before us as we consider the blessing of God upon the sons of Joseph. I want you to see, first of all, here how in this matter of blessing the sons of Joseph, that Jacob, he testifies of family mercies. He testifies of family mercies. Look at verse 15 of the chapter. And as Jacob speaks here in the presence of Joseph and the two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, notice carefully what he says. He says, "God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk." And here Jacob is speaking of his own father Isaac and of his own grandfather Abraham. And these were two family ancestors. They were men who had faith in God. The Bible shows us that their life was marked by faith in God. And they had faith in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ alone, for their salvation. Yes, Isaac and Abraham were two men that knew God. They were two family ancestors who walked with God in their life. They obeyed God in their day. They served God and they sought God. And they themselves were greatly blessed of God in their own life. Turn back to Genesis chapter 15 and you'll notice there the opening verse of that chapter, the great promise that God gave to Abraham. And look at what he says to him in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 15. He says, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And again, if you turn over to Genesis chapter 26, you'll see there God's great promise to Isaac. Look at verse number 3. Look at what he says to Isaac. He says, "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee." They knew the blessing of God upon them. Yes, Abraham and Isaac, yes, they were men who trusted the Lord. And they left behind a tremendous spiritual legacy for their families and for their succeeding generations. You know, sometimes people talk and boast about maybe family treasures or family heirlooms. Well, you know, the best family heirloom, the best treasure, the best legacy that Christian parents or indeed grandparents, Christian grandparents can leave their family is a godly testimony. It is a godly heritage. Child of God, the Bible speaks to you and I about Joshua and Caleb and tells us how there were men who wholly followed the Lord. They followed the Lord fully. And believer, if you follow their example in life, then you too, Christian, will be a blessing to your home, a blessing to your family, a blessing to the subsequent generations in your family and your family circle. The Bible says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." Young people in our meeting this morning, boys and girls, can I say to you today that it's a wonderful privilege to be brought up in a Christian home, to be brought up in a godly home. It's a great blessing, boys and girls and young people, to have parents who pray for you, parents who teach you the gospel and teach you the ways of God. But boys and girls and young people, do not despise or think light of that privilege. For with this privilege, you have a tremendous responsibility. You see, being brought up in a Christian home and having a knowledge of the things of God, that is not enough to save you. That is not enough to take you one day to heaven. You see, boys and girls and young people, to be saved, you must personally come by faith to God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and trust in Him alone to be your Savior. The Bible says of Jesus Christ, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." And in coming to Christ, you must confess your sins to the Lord Jesus. Repent of your sins and by faith alone trust Christ to save you. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Boys and girls and young people in our meeting, let me say this, that Christ can save you. No matter how young you are, He can save you. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, He died upon the cross, He shed His blood, and He rose again the third day victorious. No matter how young you are in this meeting, boys and girls and young people, the Lord can save you. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. Christ, when He was here on earth, said, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God." And why, there's none of us in this meeting this morning too young or too old to be saved. Boys and girls, young people, the Lord can save you no matter how young you are. Older folk, no matter how old you are in the journey of life, the Lord is able to save you also. Yes, we see here how Jacob, he testifies of family mercies. Notice secondly here in our text how Jacob, he testifies of personal mercies in his own life. Look again at what he says there in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 48. He speaks about God and God's dealings with him. Look at what he says in the last part of verse 15. He says, "God which fed me," notice it, "all my life long unto this day." Jacob had many trials, he had many ups and downs, many twists and turns, but as he now looks over his long life, he speaks here of the Lord really being his shepherd, a shepherd who cared for him, a shepherd who provided for him, a shepherd who protected him, a shepherd who guarded him a long life's journey. And you know, Jacob was a man who experienced the Lord's mercy and goodness. He experienced it in abundance. And now as he meets with Joseph and with Joseph's sons, his grandsons, Manasseh and Ephraim, we see how here, how Jacob, he speaks to them personally, and he speaks to them about the very reality of God. He wasn't talking about something that was distant in his mind or his imagination. He's talking to them here about the reality of God in his life and the reality of God's blessing in his long life. You know, when we think about his testimony here, we can say it's very much akin to that of David in Psalm 23. Turn over there just to that psalm in our Bibles, to Psalm number 23. And what a precious psalm it is to the people of God. This was David's experience of the Lord in life. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He speaks there of God being a shepherd, his protector, his provider. He says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Speaks of the shepherd guiding him, and even the shepherd restoring him when he went astray. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He speaks of the Lord being with him, even in the valley of the shadow of death. He speaks of the presence and the comfort of the Lord there. He says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup," he says, "runneth over." He knew an abundant provision. And he closes that psalm by saying, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And that was David's testimony of the Lord's goodness. And that really also was Jacob's testimony here in our text of the Lord's goodness to him in his life. Indeed, speaking of the blessing of the Lord in his own life, the hymn writer penned these words: "Morning by morning new mercies I see, all I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Dear believer in the meeting today, let me say this, in seeking to be a blessing to your family, a blessing to your loved ones, tell them of the Lord. Tell them of the Lord's goodness and bounty and mercy to you, and this you will be an encouragement to them to follow in the ways of God. Young people, boys and girls in our meeting today, consider well, think well upon the blessing of God upon your loved ones, your family members, those who are saved, and in doing so, may you turn away from the folly of sin. Sin is always the way of folly. Young people, boys and girls, put your faith, put your trust in Christ for salvation. And as you start out in the Christian life, put God first in your life. And God will bless you. God will meet your every need. For the Bible says, the Word of God says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He testifies of family mercies, personal mercies. Notice something else here in our text. We see how Jacob, he testifies of redeeming mercies in his life. And you see that from what he says at the beginning of verse 16 of the chapter there. He says, "And the angel," notice it, "which redeemed me," he says, from all evil. Who is that angel that Jacob is speaking about there? That angel is the angel of the covenant, an Old Testament title for God's eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You see, through Christ as his Redeemer, Jacob knew the wonderful blessing of having all his sins forgiven by God, redeemed, blotted out through the blood of Christ. And he experienced God's deliverance. He experienced preservation from sin and from the evil ways of this ungodly world. He says, the angel which redeemed me, notice it, from all evil. And my, this is what the Lord does for all whom he saves and all whom he redeems. He pardons all their sins. He says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own name's sake and will not remember thy sins. Also by his grace and power, those whom the Lord redeems, he helps and he changes their lives and gives them victory over sin and enables them to live day by day for the glory of God in their life. You see, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And then those whom the Lord redeems, he preserves. He preserves every single one of them. And he keeps them unto life eternal. Turning your Bible over to John's Gospel, chapter number 17. John's Gospel, chapter 17. And you'll see this for yourself in the great high priestly prayer of Christ to his heavenly Father. It's really a prayer for all God's people. What a prayer it is for the believer to read and to study, especially in times of need and times of trial. And look at what Christ prays there in John chapter 17, verse number 12, to his heavenly Father, speaking of his own redeemed people. He says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. And those thou gavest me, and he's speaking there of every redeemed child of God from the beginning of time to the end of time. He says, those that thou hast given me, notice that I have kept. And none of them is lost. Not one. Not one saint, no matter how weak their faith may be, will be lost who has been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Child of God, can I say to you this morning, this is your portion today also. Through the redeeming work of Christ, your sins have all been forgiven. Blotted out, the slate has been wiped clean through the blood of Christ. Also, dear child of God, God has given you grace to live the Christian life thus far. And there's more grace for you, as the hymn writer says, to his grace that has saved me and brought me thus far, and grace will lead me home. And also, dear believer, you have the wonderful hope, the certainty of a home in heaven, a place in glory. This is what you have, dear believer. This is your portion, your inheritance. Through the redeeming work of Christ. Never lose sight of that. Don't let anyone or anything rob you of that view of what Christ has done for you and redemption. Oh, believer, in our meeting this morning, is it your desire to be a blessing to your family, to your loved ones, to your children, to those in your family circle that are dear to you? Then tell them. Tell them what the Lord has done for you. In redemption, how he's forgiven your sins, how he's given you grace to live the Christian life. He's given you a home in heaven. The hymn writer says, speak just a word for Jesus. Tell how he died for you. Speak just a word. Tell. Yes, tell what he is doing for you. And boys and girls and young people in our meeting this morning, let me say this, to know your sins forgiven, to know victory over sin in this life and for you to be sure of heaven one day, then now when you're young, now when you're in the early years of life, turn to Christ. Put your faith, put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. The best time to be saved is when you're young and early in life and God can use your life in the service of God. Oh, don't turn away from the Lord and don't say, no, I'll wait to some other time or till I grow up. The best time to be saved is when you're young. Turn your Bible over to Proverbs chapter number 8 and look at what the Lord says here. Proverbs chapter number 8. Look at it, the Lord's great promise in verses 17 and 18 of that chapter, speaking about those who trust him early in life. He says, I love them that love me. Proverbs 8 verse 17. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early, notice that those that seek me early shall find me. The riches and honor are with me. And here's the Lord speaking. Durable riches and righteousness.
My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness. Boys and girls, young people in the meeting this morning, not saved, listen to that promise. The Lord says, those that seek me early shall find me. Don't let the devil, don't let the world, don't let the fear of others or peer pressure hold you back from coming to Christ young in life and putting your faith and trust in him. Notice one final thing here in our text this morning. Notice that Jacob, he testifies also here of future blessing. And we see this in the latter part of verse 16 of Genesis chapter 48. Look at what he says. He says, bless the lads. And here Jacob is in prayer. And he says, bless the lads and let my name be on them and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. He says, he prays, bless the lads. Mark those three words in your Bible, dear child of God, bless the lads. Here Jacob was praying for future blessing, indeed for great blessing, to be upon not only his son Joseph, but also to be upon his grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And we haven't time to go into it this morning, but the Bible shows how God answered this prayer. And he blessed the lads, and he answered the prayer of Jacob in a mighty and in a powerful way. And child of God, here's an example for you and I also to follow. Believer, when you think of your children, think of the grandchildren in your home. Sunday school teachers, when you think of the children that God has committed to your care, those that are involved in children's meetings and children's work, when you think of the children that come to the meetings and those that are involved in the young people's fellowship and the youth fellowship, let us each one be those who pray for them. Make these words even of Jacob the prayer of our hearts for our children and our young people, and say, Lord, bless the lads. Bless the boys, bless the girls, bless the children. Well, let us cry to the Lord for the Lord to bless our children, our grandchildren. And the children that are reached through this church, not only here immediately in the precincts of the church, but further afield in the community. Let us pray that God will bless them. Make that the prayer of your heart, dear believer. Lord, bless the lads, bless the children. Bless the boys, bless the girls, bless the young people. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And as we think about this, Christian, it's important to remember this, that the Lord has not changed. And the Lord is still as powerful today as he was in the day of Jacob. There is no lack with God. God is upon the throne today. He hasn't given up his throne. He never will give up his throne. The Lord reigneth. And believer, yes, the Lord has blessed you and I as Christians, and he's blessed us abundantly. But believer in the meeting, I tell you this today upon the authority of the Word of God, that the Lord is able to bless our children. He's able to bless our grandchildren. He is able to bless the future generations in a far, far greater way than he has ever blessed you and I as believers. The Bible speaks of the Lord and says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you and I can ask or think. What a promise he gives us to seek him in prayer, even for the children and the boys and girls. Turning your Bible over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. And mark this verse in your Bible, Christian. May it encourage you to pray for the children, the boys and the girls, the young people. Verse 3 of Jeremiah chapter 33. The Lord says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Believer, be encouraged today to pray. Christian father, Christian mother, be encouraged today to pray for your children. Christian grandparent in the meeting today, be encouraged to pray
for your grandchildren. Those of you involved in children's work, whatever form of that work is, be encouraged today to pray. Bless the children, bless the lads, bless the boys, bless the girls, bless the young people. The hymn writer says, prayer makes the darkened cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder, Jacob saw, gives exercise to faith and love, brings every blessing from above. And this was something Jacob realized. He understood this. And he underscores it in one of his final sayings to his son Joseph, and no doubt in the years of his grandchildren before he leaves this scene of time, that the God of heaven is one who blesses, one who answers prayer, one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We'll close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 510, 510 in your hymn book. How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold on me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. We'll sing the first and the last verse, verses 1 and 5, as we stand, as we sing. And oh, may this hymn be the prayer of our hearts today. 510, verses 1 and 5. Father, we thank thee for thy presence. We thank thee for help given in the ministry of thy word. Bless thy word. Write these truths upon our hearts. And Lord, our prayer would be as a people, remember especially our children, our grandchildren, the children reached through the Sunday school, the children's work, the youth work of this congregation. We pray for each and every one of them that thou will save them, that thou will bless them, and lead them in the ways of God. Keep us close to thee. Help us, Lord, by our life and by our witness to be a testimony to others around us day by day of what Christ has done, what Christ is doing for us, and indeed what Christ is yet to do for us as the people of God. Part us with your fear and favor and blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless us throughout the remainder of this thy day. We pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Amen.